You may never have heard the name of Percy Shaw, but most of us will have seen his invention. Percy was a road mender from Yorkshire, and in 1933 he was driving home on a foggy night. As a result of the fog, he struggled to see out and make the road ahead out due to poor visibility. But he noticed the reflection of his headlights in the eyes of a stray cat, and it inspired him to create a device that could reflect light and guide drivers safely at night in the darkness. His invention became known, yes, you guessed it, as cat's eyes, and these small reflective road studs are now used all across the world, guiding drivers, illuminating the right roads to take, and helping drivers to stay on them. And encouragingly, no cats were harmed in their production. Visibility is so important when you're driving, isn't it? But it's also important for followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again and again, Paul underlines in his letters that our Christian faith is to be lived out fully, faithfully, and openly for the world to see. Some years ago, David Cameron, in a speech, described himself as a committed but only vaguely practicing Christian. Paul's message in the letter of Ephesians is that every Christian is to be fully practicing. There should be nothing vague about our faith. Instead, it should be very obvious by the way that we live, by our actions, by our words, by our reactions. The reality of our faith should shine out like a lighthouse shining out in a very dark world. And here in chapter 5, Paul is explaining God's fourth great goal for his church. Remember, he's encouraged unity, he's encouraged maturity, he's called for purity. Now in verse 8, he speaks about visibility. Have a look at verse 8 with me. He writes, "For you were once full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord, so live as people of light." Just as you look at that verse, notice that Paul starts by reminding the church members at Ephesus what they were before God intervened in their lives and rescued them from their sin. His point is, look, you were in spiritual darkness. In fact, if you look at the original Greek of what he writes, it is even stronger. He writes that they were darkness. And as we've seen, as we've made our way through this great letter, we've seen spiritually that what was true for them is also true for us. We were in darkness before God intervened in our lives. But when we remember what Ephesus was like from Acts chapter 19 that we kind of looked into a few weeks ago, it is clear that when Paul uses this term darkness here, it would have had a very special connection and resonance for the people of Ephesus who first received this letter. If ever spiritual forces of a darkness had a home, it was in Ephesus. And as Paul took the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ into Ephesus, he was specially enabled by God to do unusual and special miracles there. The reason for that seems to be to show very decisively to the powers of darkness and the watching citizens of Ephesus that the powers of the occult, the powers of darkness, were nothing compared to the greater power of God. That the Christian message carried a much greater power. There were also those in Ephesus who tried to misuse that spiritual power. Acts chapter 19 tells us how a team of Jewish exorcists tried to cash in, as it were, on the arrival of the Christian message and to tap into the power of it. The incantation they used was, "I command you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out." But to their horror, what happens is that the spirit they're trying to remove from a man replied, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you?" And then the possessed man beat them up. When that event became known, many people in Ephesus came to realize that the Christian message had very real and very great power, greater power than the powers of darkness. A power that was recognized in the spirit world, a power much stronger than the occult and all the powers of darkness that were in that city. And many people became Christians, and as part of the change in their lives, they left any involvement with the occult behind. There was this very public bonfire where they brought out their magic books and their magic scrolls and incantations, and they burned them for everybody to see. It was an incredible visual demonstration that they had stepped away from the people that they once were. It was a very visible demonstration that they weren't the people that they had been in the past, but new people. Do you see how God's light really had come to the dark city of Ephesus? Here was a spiritual battleground where God's light had triumphed decisively over darkness. So do you see here that for Paul then to tell the Ephesians here that they were children of light and that they must now live in the light was in a way to tell them what they already knew. That like a baby chick who breaks free of the egg it's been living in, its old way of living, never to go back to it, so these Ephesian Christians who'd received new spiritual life were to break free and break decisively from their old lives. They were to step away from them totally. They were to step away from them decisively and never to go back to them. And they were to be visible. Visibly living in the light where they could be seen for what and who they were in Jesus. And the church was to be visible in its life together, but also the individual believers were to be visible in their individual personal lives, like cat's eyes. They were to reflect the light that had shone into their lives, and by doing so, they were to reflect Jesus. And what Paul writes for them, of course, is what he also writes for us. And so I want us to look at this this goal of the church, visibility, under two headings. And the first is this. Firstly, the light we need to live by. The light we need to live by. You see, let's just think about that. What does Paul mean when he says we are to live as people of light? What does he mean by that? Well, he explains this by giving a kind of overarching principle, one that he underlines in two verses, in verse 10 and verse 17. In verse 10, he says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. And in verse 17, he writes, understand what the Lord wants you to do. When you become a Christian, it brings you into a new, wonderful relationship with God. Now we know only too well, as husbands and wives, as parents and sons and daughters, and as friends, that relationships only work well when the people involved in those relationships try to please each other. If you're thoughtless, if you're selfish, if you're forgetful, if you're uncaring, you will damage that relationship. Just ask any husband who's forgotten his wedding anniversary. Mine is this week. It's in the diary. But no relationship works well when one party constantly displeases the other. Now, look at these verses again. Do you see the essence then of living in the light, of living as a Christian believer, is to do what pleases the Lord? Now, of course, when we first become Christians, this is a whole new ball game, isn't it? Paul shows this by using those words, carefully determine and understand. In other words, there is some effort that's required here. Just as when you go to a new country, you should try and find out about its customs and laws that you need to live by in that country, its rules, so that you don't do anything that you shouldn't do, like drive on the wrong side of the road. So in the same way, when we come to faith, we have to find out what is and what isn't appropriate as a Christian believer. That some things may be obvious, some less clear, and sometimes that clarity comes very gradually over time as we grow gradually in our faith. And some of the Ephesians here who'd been immersed in the darkness of black magic and the occult probably wouldn't have known at first what was expected of them. But do you see how Paul lays down this guiding principle for them? A principle which is so clear, they are to find out what pleases the Lord. That is why the teaching gifts mentioned in chapter 4, by the way, are so important. so that the Bible is taught and people know what pleases the Lord. So we're familiar with God's blueprints for human life. We know how to live. We know how to please him in the way that we live. But of course, it's also why individually we need to read God's word. We need to read the Bible. I once heard the Bible described in this way as basic instructions before leaving earth. I really like that. And so as God's people, we need to know God's instruction manual really well. We need to allow its light to shine into our hearts each day so that it really is the light that we live by. And the great thing is, if we follow Paul's principles here, they will naturally bring us in line with a life lived in God's light, a life that pleases him. So firstly, the light we need to live by. Secondly, the light that needs to then shine from our lives. And as it does, what is that light to do? Well, have a look at verses 11 to 13. Paul shows there it is to expose the darkness. And as we think about that, we need to think through this. How was the spiritual darkness of Ephesus exposed for what it was? Well, it was exposed by the life and witness of the Christians there. You see, it's very, really interesting to see how Paul brought the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ into this dark city of Ephesus. With all the dark things that were going on there, it would have been so easy to, as it were, stand there and condemn and attack every aspect of Ephesian culture, to preach against everything that was wrong. Paul could have set up a kiosk on the Cornhill in Ephesus and preached about how wrong it was to worship the goddess Artemis and publicly condemn all the practices that went along with it. But as far as we can see, he didn't do that. In fact, when we read about the riot against Christianity in Acts chapter 19, it is really interesting to see what the mayor says, the mayor of Ephesus, about the Christians. He says, "You have brought these men here, but they have stolen nothing from the temple and have not spoken against our goddess." Now, okay, we wouldn't have expected Paul to put on a balaclava and rob the temple one night, would we? But we might have expected him to speak against Artemis. But he didn't. Instead, it seems that he presented the Christian message in a positive way, very positively. In Acts chapter 20, he underlines what he focused on. He says, "I've had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus." In other words, he preaches the gospel and he allows, as it were, the gospel to do its work. He exposed the darkness in Ephesus by speaking about the light and by living out the light. And that is what he encourages then the Ephesians to do here. It's very interesting, you know, there are certain tabloid newspapers that seem to make a kind of career out of claiming to expose corruption. Regularly they seem to publish stories about dishonesty and fraud and large duck houses. Do you remember that one? And large donations received from allegedly dodgy sources. But we need to notice that all these papers do is actually condemn the corruption. And in their eyes, condemning it is the same as exposing it. But do you see here, the way that God's church is to expose the world's darkness is different. If you look again at verse 11, Paul shows that the church is not to dwell on darkness, it's not to focus on darkness, it's not even to keep talking about it. In fact, it mustn't have anything to do with it in that sense, but they are to expose it. How is that to be done then? And the answer is, they are to shine God's light on the darkness. In other words, they are to live such good lives of goodness, kindness, purity, and integrity, Christian lives that shine out so brightly against the world's darkness, that when people come in contact with that light and those lives, they find that the darkness of their own life is illuminated. By the way, that happens with us as Christians too, doesn't it? There have been times in my Christian life where I've experienced another Christian's kindness, generosity, and patience. And as I've experienced that from them, What it's done, it's brought me to see a lack of kindness and generosity and patience in me. It's convicted me, spoken to my heart. It's shown me that I need to change. The light shining from their life has illuminated dark areas in my life. And you see Paul's point here. His point is there is a right way of exposing the world's darkness. Not just to stand on the sidelines negatively condemning, like one of those tennis commentators who simply highlights again and again a player's mistake or bad decision or poor shot. But to be a Christian who lives positively in the world as people of light. By putting verse 9 into practice, by living out only what is good and right and true, and like cat's eyes, living lives that direct people in darkness onto the right road, the road that leads to Jesus. In other words, if we want people in spiritual darkness to step into God's light and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves, we need to live as God calls us to live. We need to live as God calls us to live in verse 8, to be people of light. You see, let me say this very carefully. The most effective Christian evangelists are not always those who speak in public. Often they are those Christians whose lives fully reflect the light of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian mum in the school playground who talks to the couple that no one else will talk to and shows them kindness and invites them round for a meal. The Christian man at work who refuses to get drunk at the office party, but is there to pick up the pieces for those who do. The Christian who does the shopping for her elderly next door neighbor. The Christian teenager who makes friends with the kid everyone else leaves out. That is the light that needs to shine from our lives. The light that shows the difference that Jesus Christ has made to us. The light that advertises Christianity well and attracts people to its reality. You see, how do we advertise Christianity? We'll see how Paul spells it out in verses 15 to 20. Two key principles: by living carefully and by living joyfully. Almost 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote to these believers in Ephesus, telling them that the days they lived in were evil. And if Paul was writing to us today, Paul's letter to the Shepherdrivians, that kind of thing, do you see he would write exactly the same thing? We need to recognize that we are living in evil days. And we need to recognize that we need to live carefully in them. And so many people around us aren't living carefully, are they? And because of that, they're storing up trouble for themselves in this life and the next. And there are times where we need to highlight that. But we need to live differently, living lives that are considered, weighing up situations in the light of God's word, praying for the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom as we seek to navigate through difficult times and hard decisions. We need to live carefully. But we also need to live joyfully. Just look at the end of verse 18. Paul writes there, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you read that, the image of Christianity it conjures up isn't this one that I found of a church family. You know, people with a real deep down joy are people that so deep down, it never comes to the surface, does it? Dear, oh dear, church teas must have been fantastic, mustn't they? And actually, part of what Paul is saying here is that the Christian message is made visible through the attitude of Christians to life in general on a day-to-day basis. That yes, as Christians, we experience difficulties, temptations, pressures, persecution, and it can be hard. Let's be honest, there are times when we feel less like bouncing around like Tigger and more like moping around like Eeyore, aren't there? Some of you here this morning have had tough weeks. A week of loss, disappointment, a week of heartache, a week where it's been especially tough to be a Christian. But even as we face these difficulties, there still should be a joy, a peace, a happiness that shines through, because we live in the light of what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he writes these great words of comfort and encouragement. He writes, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." And because of that eternal prospect in the future, do you see we are people who have a new song to sing? But we also have that joy because of what we experience in the present. Because we know the love and the security that comes from being one of God's people. Because we have the privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as the friend who walks with us every single day, whose grace and strength gives us everything that we need to face every situation. And also because we experience the encouragement and support of being part of God's family. And so we live as people with a reason to be joyful. People who are living to give praise to God. Praising Him because of the grace we've experienced. And who experience the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, inspiring us and motivating us to praise God. Enabling us to live each day as a day of thanks for what God has done for us. Because He is the one, as it were, who puts a different set of glasses on our eyes, isn't He? A set of glasses that enables us to look at the world's darkness and look at it through the lens of God's love. The light we need to live by, the light that needs to shine from our lives. See, if God's church is to be truly visible to the world around it, then the light of the Lord Jesus Christ has to shine from our lives so people can see it. It's what Jesus underlines in Matthew chapter 5, where he says these words, "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." You see, if you think of the church as an iceberg, and this might be the first time that you have, especially on a day like this, do you see that so much of what we've looked at in Ephesians so far is effectively beneath the surface? As we've looked at our spiritual history, as we thought about God's plan for His church, as we've looked at the issues of unity and maturity, sure, now and again things will come to the surface, but largely those things remain hidden from the world. But there are certain things that are very visible to the world. The part of the iceberg that's above the surface, what the world sees and what the world judges us on. Things like whether we walk the talk, whether we really do live lives that are holy and pure and full of love, whether we live lives that truly and authentically reflect God's light. You see, just think for a moment, what led people like you and me perhaps to look at the Christian faith for the very first time and examine it? Well, for many of us, it was because we saw the light of Jesus Christ reflected in the life of another Christian. A few years ago, the retailer Monsoon used the word love and turned it into a mnemonic in an advertising campaign, a slogan, and it stood for this: love, living our values and ethics. Well, as Christians, do you see we are to do exactly the same? We are to be human cat's eyes, reflecting the love and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to a world that desperately needs to know Him. Paul writes, "For you were once full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light." Let's spend a few moments in quiet prayer. Let's reflect on God's word to us this morning. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal darkness in our hearts and our lives and enable us to eradicate that darkness, and that His light would continue to work in our lives every single day. Let's take a few moments to pray about these things now.